Good afternoon, and thank you so much for joining us. Here we are in series number two. We started a year ago. We're kind of restarting. But I decided this morning that before we tie up some loose ends and engage in some review a little bit and postscript comments, and then go into an introduction to this year's new study of Bitachon, I resolved that I'm going to be different. And I said to myself, am I different from a year ago? And I remember my Rosh Yeshiva Rabbi Wein would tell us, some people, even when they're 50, 55, 60, whatever, they don't grow up. And I decided, I am not going to be one of those people. I am going to mature and grow up. And then I decided, this is for me to improve. That's why I'm learning all this. Am I different from a year ago? Am I different? And then I said, not enough, because there's one point that I'm missing. And I decided I'm going to zero in on that point right now. Last year, my attitude was, let's look at HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah Shebaktav, Torah Shebaalpeh, all the different makoros, and learn how to have bitachon, have emuna, and simcha, the things that are difficult. Challenges can improve. And we can deal with these challenges until they improve. That was really the main thrust over the year. And I decided this morning, but I could do much better than that. We already mentioned the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Chavivim Yisurim, that suffering is precious and it's actually valuable. And on that note, we just have to take stock of something we said last time. The Chovos HaLevavos mentioned certain reasons for tzaddik v'ra'lo. Why do people have a difficult time? Again, we also have to point out, I'd like to thank my wife for accentuating this, that the word tzaddik doesn't always have to mean a person who's a fully righteous person who overcomes all his or her challenges, nisyonos. The word tzaddik could mean a person about him it was decided in Shamayim that he should still be here. Or even a court might have decided that he's meritorious enough to still be here. Example, Parshas Kisetze. V'itztiku es hatzadik. The bezdin, the court, will declare righteous the one who's righteous. Now, there was a case of litigation or a dispute or a conflict. The tzadik there means whoever is pronounced and about whom the verdict is issued that he or she is correct. So the word tzadik is like tzedek. It doesn't have to be a perfectly or a close to perfectly righteous person. It could be any person. Everyone who's here, myself, I'm a plain Joe. But if I'm here, it means that in Rosh Hashanah, they said that I should still be here. So that's also a tzaddik. So let's make sure we understand that. It could be every person. It is every person. So we learned last time, if a person is suffering so much, why doesn't he give himself a bracha to feel better? There are people who we learned, and it could be anybody to a degree, especially people who go through a lot, can daven for others. We can all daven for others. Some people have more that power to do that. They're exceedingly righteous. They're above and beyond. But why doesn't he give himself that bracha to feel better? If he can heal others and daven for wondrous salvations, why not do the same for himself? I'm sure this sounds familiar. Yes, this is review from the last time, very brief. And we answered from the Chovos HaLevavos said, perhaps he has chosen in his mind, so to say, his holy mind, to withstand the hardships of others in order to help to atone for his generation. Remember that from last week? So because there's a debt that has to be paid by his door, he's paying it. He says, I will shoulder it. Even if I didn't do anything to deserve suffering, I will suffer, and then that will mitigate the suffering of the generation because he loves everybody so much, and he's willing to do that. This was one of the reasons for tzaddik v'ra'lo, why the righteous person is suffering so much, and the Chovos HaLevavos said that. But I wanted to add one more comment to that. Perhaps the reasoning is actually like this. The way in which he or she merits to give others such brachos, to daven so effectively, this is part of his package. It's part of his pekel, as we say. He or she accepts the suffering with love and joy, uses this experience to grow, but not just moving forward despite the suffering, as we've talked about before. Rather, because of the challenges and the suffering, and the way that he or she accepts the struggles with love for Hashem, the fact that this person undergoes these experiences, that fact is actually what gives the person the ability to develop his or her personality, to grow closer to Hashem. That's part of the growth process. It's part and parcel of the person's development that he or she has to actually experience all these types of struggles. Only because of these daily struggles, which he utilizes to perfect his relationship with Hashem and with people, that is what actually makes him capable. Hi hanosenes, we say, or ha gufa. This itself is what is effective in making this person capable of davening for and blessing others. We can all do this for sure. I can say to myself, chaviv and yisurim. There are things that we call, know the adjective chronic. They seem to go on and on and on, and they continue. The question is, what do I do about these tzaras, chas v'shalom? The answer is, I can adjust how I think, and I can say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have done everything I can. I continue to daven. Yes, I'm not giving up. I will continue to daven. However, it must be that this is how it's supposed to be right now. I have stretched myself. I've bent over backward. I've cried. The tears are all saved up. We talked about that a little bit before. It's a pasuk in Tehillim. It's a node. There's a flask David HaMelech talks about, a container that the Ribbono Shel Olam saves our tears. I'm doing everything I can, but I should not and do not need to turn myself inside out because of something I'm not able to control. This chronic, so to say, suffering or crisis or challenge or problem, it is here for me to experience. And that was, it makes me a person. It makes me the person I am. So that is another answer to what we said last week. Why doesn't the tzaddik give himself a bracha so that he rids himself of that terrible suffering, chas v'shalom, of the torture, the emotional travail that he's going through? No, because then he wouldn't have the zuchus to be able to impart brachos and tefillos to others so well. We know the Mishnah in Avo says, Al tomar kishepone eshne. Don't say, when I'm free, when I have peace of mind, when I finally have relief, then I will learn. Or, I heard a nice chat on eshne. We know that it's related. Eshne is like the word Mishnah, to learn or to teach. But it's also a lesson of, that's right, shinoi. Don't say, when I have free mind, when I have tranquility and relief, then I will change, then I will work on myself. No, Al Tomar, don't say that. Why? Shema lo siponet. Maybe you'll never actually have relief from this. That sounds pretty dismal and pessimistic, doesn't it? No, it's actually not. It's the Ribbono Shel Olam loves us. That's why he's paying attention to us, and he sent me this challenge. This is how I grow. So maybe that's what's about me. I will do everything I can, but I will not be set back because of these challenges. That's how it was with Avram Avinu. You'd think that if he has one or two tests, that's going to be enough for him. But no, it seems to be a chronic situation with Avram Avinu. Remember, we have the Mishnah. It's in Avos, in the fifth parak. 10 tests. Asar Nisyonos, Nisnasa Avram Avinu, all of a sudden. He was tested, but raised. Again, we've said the word Nisayon is a Lashon of Nes. A person who passes these challenges performing a miracle. We are miracle workers when we overcome these challenges. And a selection of banner, like a flagpole, it raises the person up. That's what Nisayon is all about. Again, at a later discussion, perhaps we'll again go through the 10, the multiple problems, the challenges he had, one after another in succession. But that's what made him Avram Avinu. That's actually, it's not like, let's just make it through this and grow from it. It's more than that. Maybe it's Shema lo siponet. It could be that there are certain situations I'm stuck with to a degree. I'm not going to give up. I have to know that this is what Hashem sent me, and I will continue to grow from it, Amir Sasha. We're going to begin, again, talking about bitachon, which emuna is the backdrop and the yesod for bitachon, meaning faith in Hashem and Hashem's existence and his awareness and his omnipotence. That emunah leads to bitachon, which is the practical application of emunah, which leads ultimately to simcha. And again, before we start, like the speaker gets up and says, before I speak, I'd like to say a few words. So before we again embark on our quest, our journey toward bitachon, we are going to talk about simcha, which is the destination. That's the end result that we're always hoping to achieve. It's an ecstatic state of mind. But we love shortcuts. I don't know about you, but life, especially in this world today, is a life and an existence of shortcuts. So I decided, are there any shortcuts for Simcha? Before we even start and go through it piece by piece, week by week, vad by vad, thought by thought, is there a shortcut? And I said to myself, yes. It was contained in one of the last 47 Vad gatherings, and it was in the Orchos Tzadikim. There is a shortcut. Well, you have to just dig it out, and we'll see it. And therefore, we can take this in our pocket as we move through all the intricacies of Emunah and Bitachon, which leads to Simcha. But we can also have a taste of Simcha right now, today. And how is that found? The Orchos Tzadikim said that people who work really hard to serve Hashem, it says they are the Noam Shalom Be'inyan Avodasam Uvasimcha Gedola Bifrishusam. We quoted that Orchos Tzadikim a number of weeks ago. A shortcut to the summit of the hill, the state of being Besimcha, is what's called Precious. Besimcha Gedola Bifrishusam. But Precious, is it like the Maseros Yesharim is Pshat in Precious? Totally, which you might know. Oh, I should abstain from things that are allowed to a degree as a safeguard for the things that are not allowed? No, we're not even meaning that right now. It doesn't have to be that. It could be, for example, I'm tempted to eat something I'm not supposed to eat. Now, let's talk about eating for a second. I love sugar and fat and pastries. And I can eat a little bit of it. I just can't overdo it. Many of us are in a similar situation. So I go into the teacher's room a few days ago, and we know that Baruch Hashem, the parents in the school are so supportive of the teachers, the Rebbeim. I happen to be both right now. It's its own comedy at times. I walk in there, and there's a plate of succulent, juicy, soft, gooey pastries. And I say to myself, I could eat a whole plate of this stuff. And then I say, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to do that. That's not healthy. By eating just a small amount and not having more, that is precious from something I'm not allowed to do. And when I get a grip on myself and I control my animalistic tendencies, that actually creates simcha in myself, in every person, because self-control creates simcha. That's what the Orach HaTzadikim said, the simcha gedola. They're in great joy because of precious. Separating from what I'm not supposed to indulge in. How many opportunities do we have for this? And every one of them actually injects me with joy because I just won. I'm a winner. Hooray, Baruch Hashem. I was victorious because I had a temptation. I overcame the temptation, but these are little increments of precious. They add up. They create a mindset and a mood of celebration. If we just think about it, when we're in control of our animalistic desires, then we have a reason to rejoice. How about if I'm moved to anger? Something really annoying comes up, but I swallow it. I move on, but I don't move on begrudgingly and fuming. I say to myself, no, I still love this person. I also have shortcomings. I have nothing against this person. Happens with relatives all the time. That's the people who it's hardest to deal with, as we know, because I'll tell us this. That temptation to become angry and resisting the temptation and not becoming angry, that is precious from something. It's separation from something I'm not allowed to engage in, which is the mitzvah of anger, that trait. And that should give me simcha. If we think about it, that's a victory. We're going to learn that life is like a battlefield to a degree. It's the Melchemes HaYetzer. There are tons of battles every day. How do I know that Hashem loves me? How do I know that Hashem loves me? It's because I have these temptations. It happened so many times. Something bothered me. Something was hard for me. It was a chronic struggle. And then a temptation comes up to eat something I'm not supposed to, or something annoys me, and I overcome the temptation, and then I say, oh, I know HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves me, because I just had an Nisayon, and I passed the Nisayon. It might have been so trivial, so tiny, it's just a chocolate chip cookie. Yeah, but that's huge. So myriad small opportunities are sent to us from Hashem on a daily basis. Asara Nisyonos Nisnasa Avram Avinu Al Vashalom. 10. Sometimes the word 10 means many. Like in Parshas Kisetzei, when it talks about Le'ovo Bekal Hashem, it says Dor Asiri, the word 10, without getting into those sources. But the 10 can mean many also. Avraham Avinu, he had many, many nisyonos. This is how it is that we build ourselves. And it's not like, oh no, another temptation. No, no, no. We can be in a mindset of great joy and separating from things we're not allowed to do. This is a shortcut towards simcha. Yes, we're going to work through emuna. First, we're going to talk about bitachon because we need a big injection of bitachon. It's all for myself. And then we're going to get it more into the philosophical, the cognitive process of emuna. Yes, we're going to work through it all, Amir Tashem. But shortcuts are so delicious. Shortcuts. It's a shortcut to simcha. If I have a temptation to do something and I don't do it, that should put me in a state of joy. Abstaining from detrimental actions and behaviors. It's the Aruch HaTzaddikim. Drops us that little hint. Hashem loves us, presents us with tests all the time. I always like to say I was born with a soft, chewy chocolate chip cookie in my hand. But staying in control, that brings us to joy. Because human beings want to be in control. It creates tremendous amounts of sadness and frustration in a person when the person is out of control. My Rebbe in 11th grade said, Rabbi Resnick, he said, a neat room is a neat mind. If I can have the discipline to keep my life in order as much as possible, there are stages we grow through. Yeah, I went through a stage in my own life for about a year where I couldn't straighten up my room. That's because my mind was also a mess. That's also normal. It was a process to go through during the teenage years. But we have to try to get a grip. To try to stay in control. There are myriad opportunities for shmiras einayim. It's warmer outside now. From my distant peripheral vision, we all have this. You see something in the distance, and I have a feeling it's something I'm not supposed to gaze at. So what happens is that I make sure to look the other way the whole time, right from the beginning, before it even comes into my periphery. The Gemara says, "Kavodvar erba liado osin lo neis, v'nitzal hemena osin lo neis." A person who has an opportunity to do something immoral, even the fringes of immorality, to look at something he or she is not supposed to look at, osin lo neis. The Gemara says a miracle is performed for that person. For smaller challenges, obviously it's going to be not the largest scale miracle, but miracles are going to be performed because we already said everything is mita keneged mita. This person withstood the nisayon, that's a lesson of neis. This person performed a neis, did not look at something that should not be gazed at, so therefore Hashem gives this person a neis. There's stories in the Gemara about it. This builds simcha inside the person. This is a shortcut to get to simcha. I saw in a Hasidic sefer a profound insight into human nature. It said, "Bechotem yecholim lahakir es hanoef." In the nose, but he really means, he explains that it means the temper, a person can recognize the adulterer, the immoral person. What is going on? The Sefer explains that a person who engages in immoral behavior is really not in control of his or her animalistic component, nefesh habahamis, and that causes sadness and frustration and anger in the person. So sometimes, obviously, there are many reasons for anger, many underlying issues, sometimes clinical. But one important point that's fundamental is that if a person is out of control, then the person is angry and has a negative mindset. When a person is in control, then the person actually is very much besimcha. So the person who chas v'shalom is adulterous or immoral will have a tendency often toward anger. Because deep down, every human being is a tzelem elokim and wants to be in control, craves ruchnius, wants to be connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's what causes tranquility and joy. Those were some introductory comments. So we have a shortcut toward simcha already today, I'm telling myself. And that is every opportunity to go ahead and withstand temptations that we have to go against the Ratzon Hashem, and to work through them, overcome them, and then become a greater person with each nisayon, with each challenge. We're about to start our curriculum again. But before we really start again, I want to give a big shout out and a thank you to Mr. Jake Wyman, Mr. Mitch Green, and the Plotzkers for their sponsorship for this year. And we're going to now start talking about bitachon. If you remember, when we started a year ago, we talked about the battlefield, that in Parsha Shoftim, the soldiers are told to not be afraid on the battlefield. Doesn't sound so realistic, does it? But we're going to learn that it's absolutely necessary, because that's what's going to save them. The fact that they're not afraid, that's going to help them come home in peace, in one piece, instead of in pieces, chas v'shalom. And it occurred to me last week that before the battles that we fought to conquer Eretz Yisrael or against Amalek, there was a battle that happened much earlier, the very, very first combat that we ever engaged in. Now, what was the first time in Chumash that a lashon, a term of milchama, of war, some form of that, was used regarding Bnei Yisrael as a nation? What would you think? Okay, you got it. I'll read you the pasuk, Parshas Bishalach. Hashem yilachem lachem. Hashem will fight for you. Ve'atem tacharishun, and you should be silent. Where was that said? That's correct. At Kriyas Yamsuf. Boy, were we in a pickle by Kriyas Yamsuf. Cornered between the Egyptian army and the Reed Sea, the Yamsuf. We had wild animals out there. It was not a pleasant situation. It was the crisis of all crises, if you could say such a thing. And the Bnei Yisrael were actually in different factions, how to deal with it. But Moshe Rabbeinu told Bnei Yisrael, Hashem yilachem lachem. It's the first time regarding Bnei Yisrael, correct me if I'm wrong, as a nation, we have a language of milchama, of combat or war used. Hashem will fight for you, and you'll be silent. So this was when we were helpless. Now, we do have to mention the Ibn Ezra. There were 600,000 able-bodied men between 20 and 60, armed from bottom to top with many types of weapons. According to one shot, they had five types of weapons because of the word that you're probably thinking about, Chamushim, Olu Bnei Yisrael, Me'eretz Mitzrayim. The one word for one shot for Chamushim is they had five types of weapons. They were very powerful. They were well-armed, but they couldn't pull the trigger. They were helpless. Huh? Well, why? That's right. That's what the Ibn Ezra tells us. You're probably thinking this. The Egyptians were their masters. How can I open fire on my master? They were slaves. They're unable. They're immobilized. They're paralyzed. They can't even pull the trigger. They can't open fire. They're stuck. So what happens? That's why, by the way, it says, the Oznai in the Torah says, I took your hosts of people out of Egypt. But wait, Sivoseichem is something else. Sivah, I took your armies out. Your armies didn't take you out. People sometimes say, oh, I trust in our military power. Chas v'shalom. No. Hashem says, you guys have to remember, lo herimu etzba. They could not even lift a finger, that generation, to leave Mitzrayim. They were totally helpless. By the way, that's exactly Zechiras, Yetzias, Mitzrayim, every single day. We have to remember that we're totally helpless in many situations. It's all in Hashem's hands. That's why every single day we have to remember this experience. But the Jews, the men between 20 and 60, who were so able-bodied and so armed, they were not able to fight. So they're standing there like, oh no, we're about to be clobbered by the Egyptians, by our masters. And like, oh no, we can't open fire. So Hashem says, don't worry, Hashem yilachem lachem, Hashem will fight for you. Va'atem tacharishun, says you should be silent. What is the connection between Hashem fighting for you and you being silent? You've probably heard explanations. One of them is you don't need to scream anymore. Hashem's going to take care of this. The Oznai in the Torah, the Litzker Rav mentions, B'tanai, sa'atem tacharishun. Hashem will fight for you on the condition that you will be silent. What is that supposed to mean? Because until now you were complaining. Reminder to me not to complain. Not to kvetch. You were complaining. And not only were you complaining, in the complaining, lo tedabru be'elokim uvishlucho, zok de'oznai mitzor, the Litzker Rav. Don't speak out against Hashem and against Moshe Rabbeinu, who's Hashem's agent to help you. You're saying negative talk about them because you think you're helpless. Hashem's going to fight for you on the condition that you'll be silent. No more lashon hara, no more anas devarim, no more complaining, only on that condition. But it occurred to me also that this first war, and again, we're calling it war, even though the Jews did not lift a finger, they did not pull the trigger, they didn't open fire, because they were stuck. They were unable to. But it does say, Yilachem, Hashem is going to be the one who fights for you. There was something that came up this week, and I was thinking to myself, oh, this is a dilemma. I'm going to have to do something to try to solve this. I'm using a personal experience. It's a predicament. I'm going to start calling this person. In my mind, I started lining up all the people I'm going to call to try to get this solved. And then I said to myself, you know what? I've had things like this in the past. One or two times I did nothing because I realized that all these phone calls are only because of my anxiety. And I'm going to try to achieve peace of mind by calling this person and calling this person and calling this person to get him to call the other person. And I realized, Hashem Yilachem Lachem, Atem Tacharishun. Not always is this true. Sometimes we do have to make the phone calls. But there's a limit. And I realized that in that case, sometimes I need to just do what it says in Tehillim Perek Nunhei Pasuk Chaf Gimel. Hashtech al Hashem Yehavecha Behu Yechal Kalecha. Stand your burden on Hashem. Cast it on Hashem. And Hashem will sustain you, will take care of you. Not to do over Hishtadlus. I actually said, I realize it's going to create more problems. I'm trying to solve problems, but by these phone calls, it will just increase my anxiety because then I'm going to hope and want it to be solved because of my Hishtadlus. Hashem Yilachim Lachem Batem Tacharishun. I said, be quiet. Just stop. I told myself, don't make the phone calls. I don't need to speak to this person and to this person. Life's daily battles that we have are challenges. They're very similar to this many times. Yes, we do know there is a place for Hishtadlus. And yes, the last time through, we definitely learned a lot about Hishtadlus, how much effort we have to put forth. But sometimes it's not the place for that effort. So today, Baruch Hashem, what we did was we tied up a couple of loose ends from Vod number 47. We started what I can call Vod 48, but it's the beginning of our new series. And we're going to learn that when it comes to milchama, when it comes to the battlefield, we're told lo sira mehem. And that's going to be how we're going to start next week, Yom Yeretz Hashem. To not be afraid. We're not supposed to be afraid. We're really not supposed to. I'm not supposed to drive on Shabbos. I'm not supposed to eat non-kosher. I'm not supposed to be afraid. It's in the Torah. Ben Oyona says it's literally a pasuk in the Torah. That's a mitzvah to not be afraid. So that frees me. It emancipates me from the shackles of anxiety and fear. Because not only, it's not like I don't need to be. I'm not supposed to be. It's a very freeing thought. Hopefully we all find it to be that way. And Yom Yeretz Hashem, when we continue next time, we're going to delve into the Melchama that Rabbeinu Yonah talks about. And someone once said to me, well, why does it have to be a Melchama? Because it is actually, Vayavik Ishimo Adalos HaShachar. We'll end with this thought that the man who fought with Yaakov until the dawning of a new era, till the morning, the Zion and Torah says that refers to the Eight Sahara. So there's a struggle. Yes, it is a struggle that we have. We don't look for the war. The war comes to us. By Ovik Ishimo, the man who was the Starshal Esav, which is the Yitzhahara, struggled with Yaakov. The Yitzhahara challenges us. It's a good thing. Hashem creates only good. It makes us grow. So once we know that we have this milchama, we have battles, we have a war, but Hashem is with us to help us. And that's why we have nothing to be afraid of. So Yom Yitzhah Hashem, next week, we'll embark on our continued journey to learn about Bitachon and to strengthen ourselves. Thank you so much for joining us.